Will you open your Bibles, please, with me today to the Gospel of Matthew, that portion of the Word of God we are studying together. As we begin our discussion today, we are going to reread a portion that we have read one or more times as we have been discussing it. I refer to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ, or Jesus the Messiah. Notice particularly, please, once again, verse 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." As we continue our discussion of the things which the Lord Jesus taught as he had withdrawn to his disciples in Caesarea Philippi, we look today at a lesson concerning the keys of the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We have been thinking with you about false doctrines. Today, we begin to think of something that has led to some false teaching. Because this verse, wonderful as it is, has been misunderstood by many, and on that basis has created a problem. As I have suggested to you a number of times, the best way to deal with false doctrine is to know what the Word of God says. Then, when any particular phase of false doctrine is brought to your attention, you will be able to judge its authenticity on the basis of what the Word of God says. So often, individuals spend all their time becoming familiar with false cults, and if that is what the Lord wants you to do, that's fine. I can't say anything about it, but I do suggest to you, friend, that there is hardly time for that. If you master the Word of God, you will be able to recognize false teaching as soon as you see it, because this passage of Scripture at which we are looking today is something that tells us a truth that is often misconstrued and often misused. We need to look into the Word of God in connection with this particular statement we've just read and reread and find out what it means. And I think one way we can do that is to have an understanding of the terms that are used in this verse. Now, let me read the verse for you again so that you'll have it clearly in your minds, and then, as I say, we're going to examine the terms that are used in the verse and see if we cannot come to a correct understanding of this very interesting statement. We refer to verse 19 of Matthew chapter 16, and the words, "The Lord Jesus said to Peter, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I say, we want now to try to understand the various phrases and words which are used in the verse as they are related to the rest of Scripture. So we'll notice, first of all, the phrase, the kingdom of heaven. This is not a new phrase to us. We have been looking at it ever since we were in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. But it is important for us to notice that Peter was indeed given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He was not given the keys to the church. He was not given the keys to the kingdom of God. He was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And as we have learned in our study up to this point, the kingdom of heaven is that kingdom which was offered to the nation of Israel when the Lord Jesus Christ came the first time. It is that kingdom which is described in mystery form in Matthew chapter 13, and in that mystery form is illustrated the growth of Christendom during the absence of the king. We have said to you that the kingdom of heaven refers to Christendom in the sense that we're talking about all the territory where the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has been preached, and men are living on what some people call Judeo-Christian principles. It refers to all the area where men hear of the gospel and receive or reject, where men come under the influence of Christianity, whether they receive Christ as Savior or not. This is the kingdom of heaven. Now, we might anticipate ourselves by 1,000 years or more and say that Peter is going to have a special place in the kingdom of heaven when it is established on the earth, and we'll discuss that in detail at a later time. But for the moment, and for this particular discussion, Peter was given the keys of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven as it applies to this era of time, even in which we live. Well, what about the keys? He was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What about the keys themselves? Peter, said Jesus, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What in the world did he mean? Well, keys to most people represent a literal tool that you insert in a lock to open a door or to close a door, to let in or to shut out. And though that is the way keys are commonly used, when we are discussing keys in the Word of God, it is necessary for us to find out what symbolism they have in relation to spiritual truth. So I would suggest at the moment that you turn with me, if you're able to, that is, if your Bibles are handy, to Isaiah chapter 22. And if you don't have your Bibles handy, you can listen closely as we read this passage of Scripture in a moment or two. But first, the chapter in which these verses are found tells the story of a man by the name of Shebna, who was placed in authority. He was not as loyal as he ought to have been. So God was going to remove him from the office of treasurer, steward, scribe, and he was going to put him in another place of employment. So in verse 20, we read concerning that transaction. This is Isaiah chapter 22, verse 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe, that is, with Shebna's robe, and I will strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit the government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Now notice very carefully. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. We're going to stop our reading right there, emphasizing that the simplest definition of the key as a symbol is given in this passage of Scripture. And what is that? The key is the symbol of authority. Now, there is another passage of Scripture that is related to this thought, and that is Revelation, the first chapter, the 18th verse, where the Lord Jesus Christ himself is speaking and saying, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. And then in Revelation, the third chapter, we'll notice these words, the seventh verse. The angel of the church in Philadelphia, to that angel write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the keys of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man open. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Old Testament Eliakim. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has the authority to open and to close, the one who has the authority to open the door to heaven or to open the door to hell. He is the one who has the authority to keep in or to keep out. When the Lord Jesus Christ gave Peter the keys, which would represent, notice carefully what I'm saying, a certain authority in the kingdom of heaven, he was giving him a place of authority. What was that authority? Well, let's go back again to Matthew chapter 16 and notice the 19th verse. And I will give thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Notice carefully now. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The authority which the Lord Jesus Christ gave to Peter was connected with binding and loosing. Now, what does that mean? Well, therein lies the thrust of our study of this particular portion, because there are some strange ideas as to what was meant by that authority. We're not going to have time to look at it today, so we're going to ask you to be with us the next time we meet round our radios for this very interesting discussion concerning the keys to the kingdom. But before we have the opportunity of doing that, let me say that I pray God's richest blessing on you, and pray particularly for you, my friend, if for whatever reason you have neglected to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Receive him now. As many as receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to them gives he the authority to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.